Good morning, everyone, and thanks once again for joining us for the Sunday morning message from Chesley Community Church. And happy Father's Day to all of you fathers who are watching this morning. Well, we're continuing to have our drive-in services, and if you're able to be at one of those, we would welcome you on any Sunday. We're running them at 10:45 in the morning and following all COVID protocols. Before we get going today, let's pause for some prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are, the great creator, the great sustainer of all things, the creator and giver of life. Thank you for the life that we enjoy in you. Thank you for our country, Lord. We pray for its leaders. You've given us such a beautiful place to live. We pray for wisdom on behalf of our leaders. Would you lead them and would you guide them and would you direct them? We think of those who are continuing to struggle as first-line supporters in the fight against COVID. And Lord, we just lift them up to you. We ask that your strength would be their strength, that you would minister to them and that you would bless them. Lord, for those who are going through physical struggles, for those who are hurting, Lord, would you minister healing to them? And we think of those who would be going through difficult times with respect to other issues, financial problems, relationship issues, anxiety, depression. Lord, would you surround them with your power and your presence? Would you minister to their every need? We ask now that you'd bless your word as we share it. May your Holy Spirit connect with our spirits, Lord. May you illuminate your truth from your word today. Make it real in our hearts. Help us to act on it. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we began our series entitled The Fatherhood of God. And it began by noting the radical teaching that was introduced by Jesus when he instructed his disciples in his teaching on the Lord's Prayer to address God as their Heavenly Father. We then explored the New Testament scriptures revealing that we have a right to adoption and that God has indeed adopted those who have been born again as his very own children. And as his adopted children, we are encouraged to set aside the fear and apprehension that was so often a part of the Old Testament atmosphere when they considered approaching God. And instead, in the New Testament, we are encouraged to come boldly into the presence of our Heavenly Father. A boldness that's made possible only because our sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Last week, we noted from John 1:12 that adoption is the first, the primary, and the most important blessing of being born again. The opportunity to be born again makes possible the opportunity for our father-child relationship with God. And adoption takes us to a new and higher level in our relationship with our Father God. We noted that our new family status should impact the way we live, should impact the way we act, the way we think, the words we use, and the actions we take. Surely the adoption that God has given us, chosen to take us into his own family, surely that would motivate us to live every aspect of our lives that would be in a way that would please our Heavenly Father and bring glory and honor to his name and to his new family. Love is the dominant driver in this new relationship. Love for the Father who loves us dearly. Love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, just as our Father loves them. And then our returning love to the one who loved us so much. We noted as well that Jesus recognized the authority of the Father and lived out his life here on earth, focusing on the mission that he had been given to do. In the same way, we should be seeking God's will and purposes for our lives and living them out in obedience, recognizing our Father's authority. And we also noted how adoption was superior to simply being declared not guilty. Our Heavenly Father did not simply declare us not guilty, but adopted us, made us heirs of things to come. Well, today we want to move ahead in our study, and it just so happens that today is Father's Day, as I mentioned before. So today we can be thankful for the role of fathers in our life and the role of our Heavenly Father chapter 15. That's Luke chapter 15. It opens with Jesus receiving some criticism from the religious authorities of his day. They were expressing concern about our Lord's habit of eating with tax collectors and sinners. They believed that God would not be happy with that habit and would not be interested in such evil people. And Jesus then uses words to paint a picture of our Heavenly Father, his character, his passion for the lost. And there are three stories that make up the entire chapter. First comes the story of the lost sheep. And I hope you're familiar with it because we haven't got time this morning to read all three stories. But it focuses on how the finding of the lost sheep becomes the priority. Everything is set aside. The shepherd goes looking for the one lost sheep. And it culminates in rejoicing in heaven when the lost sheep is found. Next comes the story of the lost coin. Again, everything else is set aside. No effort is spared until the lost is found, resulting in more rejoicing in heaven. And thirdly comes the story frequently referred to as the prodigal son. Now this story is very familiar, but it's well worth reading on this Father's Day as a review. And it also contains valuable points in our consideration of the fatherhood of God. Now before we read it, a couple of things to note as we do. These three stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, make up the entire 15th chapter of Luke. Think about that, an entire chapter set aside to underline the Father's passion for the lost. There are three common elements in these stories. First, something's lost. Secondly, the lost is found. And thirdly, there is rejoicing. These three elements paint a picture of our Father's heart. Unlike the religious authorities' perception of God, he is concerned about the lost. He is hoping for the lost to be found, and there is great rejoicing when that happens. So now we read from Luke 15, beginning to read at verse 11. That's Luke 15, 11. To illustrate the point even further, Jesus told him this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." So the party began. The lyrics of Chris Tomlin's contemporary song entitled "He's a Good, Good Father" contain these words. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Now, I would not be surprised if these words were inspired by the account of the prodigal son. There are some key points to think about in the context of this story. First, as we have been studying, we are born again. We have been adopted. We are God's children. A good father never abandons their child, regardless of what they have done. Now, unfortunately, in our world today, there are many, many fathers who are not good. They abandon their children and the responsibilities associated with fatherhood. And you know, it's one of the underlying causes of poverty in the world. Men who are not good and not responsible, abandoning their children. But Jesus was making the point that our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. Regardless of the performance of His children, He remains unshakably committed to being their Father. It is, as Chris Tomlin sings, who He is. He is a good, good Father. Forever embedded in the nature of our God is His unchangeable nature as a good, good Father. Now, the story of the prodigal son is set in a time in history when unquestionable obedience to the father was expected and was the norm. The prodigal's demands and actions brought enormous shame to the family. But because the father in the story is a good father, the son is not cut off. The son is not disowned. The son is not abandoned. He is not disliked. He is not hated. But rather, the door is always left open for the lost son, who is still passionately loved, to be recovered. Furthermore, there is hope, and there's anticipation that someday the wanderer will return, as evidenced by the father in the story, watching and anticipating, hoping, believing that the son will be coming home. Now, when we consider carefully the details of the messages found in this account, it underlines for us the security that we have in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The son rejected his father's authority. He brought shame on the family, and yet the father did not disown, did not abandon, but chose to continue to love, to hope for, and anticipate the wanderer returning home. Now, who among us has not, at one time or another, acted in a way that was displeasing to our Heavenly Father? Probably all of us. Who among us has, at least not on one occasion, been disobedient and broke our Father's rules? Who among us has not, at one time or another, turned our back and, just like Jonah of old, tried to run away from God's presence and His calling on our lives? The son entered a period of wastefulness in his life. He wasted his monetary inheritance, and he wasted a good part of his life. And who among us has not wasted time or money that might well have been spent elsewhere for his cause and his kingdom? The son entered a period in his life marked by immoral relationships, yet the father was still loving him, still hoping, still anticipating his return. Now, because Jesus was using the story to illustrate the character of our good, good Heavenly Father, it affirms for us that in this family relationship that we have been adopted into, that we are privileged to have consistent, unchanging, loving security in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Regardless of what we have done, or where you and I are in life today, and we're all at a different stage in our walk through life, but regardless of where we are not disowned, we are not cast off, we are not disliked or hated. By contrast, we are consistently loved by our Heavenly Father, who waits for open arms to welcome us home. So I would ask you today, where are you today? Have you come to a point, perhaps in your life, where you realize that you've wasted a lot of life's resources given to you? Time, money, energy, skills that might have been used for the Lord? Had you focused on His plans and purposes for your life? And we could go through that whole list. Maybe you're in a place where you know that you've broken the Father's rules. Maybe you know you've done some things, acted in some way that would be displeasing to Him. The good news is that your good, good Heavenly Father still counts you as a son or a daughter. You are still His adopted child. Your good, good Heavenly Father still loves you and is still hoping for you, still anticipating your return. Perhaps you've adopted some habits and some attitudes, some lifestyle attributes that you know are not pleasing to your Heavenly Father. Perhaps even like the prodigal son, you've developed some relationships that are inappropriate. The good news is that your good, good Heavenly Father still counts you as a son or daughter, still loves you, and is still hoping for and anticipating your return. The story, when studied carefully, affirms that we do indeed have a good, good Heavenly Father. It affirms our position that as a child of God, it's secure even when we stumble and fall. It affirms that His love and care and hope for us is forever consistent. Now it follows that if our position is secure as a child of God, and if God, our Heavenly Father, is a good, good Father, then we can approach life with much less concern and anxiety than the unbelieving world. The unbelieving world has natural increased anxiety and concern because they must rely on either their own efforts or the government to meet their needs. And so they become preoccupied and deeply concerned about everything from elections to inflation. Jesus' words to us as His children, to His adopted children, part of the heavenly family. Jesus' words sound a much different message. We pick up His teaching in Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read in verse 25. That's Matthew 6, 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Note here again that Jesus makes the point of addressing God as our Heavenly Father, and in so doing reminds us that we are His valuable and much loved adopted children. Now picking up in verse 27, we read, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so wonderfully cares for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" Why do you have so little faith? Now, perhaps we tend to think of faith as being related to miracles, that kind of mountain-moving faith. Faith to see someone healed, faith to complete a church building project, and so on. But Jesus here is talking about everyday faith in the heavenly family unit. Faith in our good, good Heavenly Father to meet the needs of His family. I believe that this is a call for childlike faith in our parents. When I was a small child, I never gave a second thought to things like food and clothes. My childlike faith simply expected mom and dad to be able to meet those needs. As I grew older, I was reminded frequently that money didn't grow on trees, and there were things that we couldn't afford, but there still remained that childlike faith that mom and dad would supply our everyday needs. And I believe here that Jesus is encouraging His listeners to exercise that kind of childhood faith in our Heavenly Father. Believe. Exercise faith in our good Father to meet our needs, and when we do, when we develop and practice that childlike faith, a lot of anxieties of life simply melt away. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean we sit back, put our feet up and do nothing, expecting our Heavenly Father to arrange to have the groceries delivered and our bills paid. Scriptures and other places encourage us to be industrious, to use the energy, skills, and talents that our Heavenly Father gave us. But if we grasp the truth about our childlike, rather, we grasp the truth about our father-child relationship, if we can grasp that we really are a child of God and that He is indeed a good Father, then we can exercise that childhood faith and allow the stress and anxiety to dissipate. A few years ago, someone by the name of Bobby McFerrin wrote a little song entitled Don't Worry, Be Happy. You've probably heard it. It became quite popular for a while. But you know, I think Jesus beat him to the punch by a couple thousand of years. Reading on at verse 31, Jesus says to his listeners, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." You know, that's an interesting word used there, dominate. When something dominates, everything else is pushed aside. If worry, anxiety, and fretting are dominating your mind, everything else will take a second or third place or a fourth place, or become lost altogether. Your focus and your energy becomes consumed by anxiety and worry. Every believer is called to a life of faith, a belief that our Heavenly Father does have plans and purposes for each of our lives. And we are called to exercise that childlike faith. Again, thinking back to my childhood, I never had to worry whether Mom or Dad would remember that I needed to eat. I simply believed that they knew my needs. Jesus simply reminds us, your good Father already knows your needs. Just focus on seeking His kingdom first, living out what He is calling you to do. Let His calling dominate your thinking and believe that He will ensure that the rest is taken care of. In closing, I trust that that's where you are today, that you've taken the steps to be born again, that you claim your status as an adopted child of your Heavenly Father, and you are believing in and resting on the promises made to each one of His children. And if by chance you've drifted away, maybe like the prodigal son and some of the characteristics we saw in his story, just remember, God still loves you. He's still hoping for, still anticipating His return. And that return, that reconciliation, is only a prayer away. I pray that that would be your story today. Father, as we close today, we thank You once again for Your word. We thank You for the words here in Scripture that affirm that You are indeed a good Father. Help us to believe that, to be able to exercise that childlike faith on a day-to-day basis, that You indeed care for us, that You are hoping for, anticipating the return of the lost, that You welcome us with open arms, and that You will consistently meet our needs. Thank You for these promises, Lord. We bless Your holy name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us on this Father's Day. Dads, have a great rest of the day. We'll look forward to seeing everyone here again next week. God bless and bye.